For almost 30 years, we've been living in a globalized world. The availability of goods, their price, and their usability have undergone changes that impact the daily lives of billions of people. At the heart of all these are the countless trade exchange. A raw material can be collected in a continent, processed in a second one, and finally sold in a third to a consumer not exactly aware of the long journey that the good has lived before arriving in his hands. This set of interactions takes the name of supply chain, and the unsuspecting consumer wants to know more and more the history of what he intends to buy, to know if, in short, the good is sustainable. We talk about supply chain, sustainability, and European regulation with Tabea Kraus from the Summer School on Economics and Institutions in Europe of the University of Trento.
Hello, happy to be here.
So, what is a supply chain at first?
So the supply chain of a company is basically all the parts of the products that a company needs to assemble to form a final product. So for European products, that's really complex, usually involving many countries, therefore many legislations. And if you just think of something very simple like a bar of chocolate, this means that we need the cacao beans and the milk that's going to be formed into milk powder, and it needs to be packaged and it needs to be formed into the right production scheme. So this takes place in so many countries, and we need supplies from so many different places that it's really relevant to
and
regulate.
Does it last until the customer or interrupts in the enterprise?
I think I see where you're getting. You mean basically until which stage we talk about the supply chain,
yeah.
Right? But that's actually a part that I've also looked at from my research, because there are different definitions. So a supply chain means everything that you need to buy up to the point for getting the final product on the market. But what's relevant to the type of legislation I'm looking at is there's also the term of a value chain. And a value chain then also means where your product is going after you sold it. So from the perspective of a company, this also means if you make investments, what's happening with these investments. Mm-hmm. So if we include value chains instead of just supply chains, then it's also relevant if your investments are sustainable, because I'm looking at sustainability regulation.
Yeah, and talking about sustainability, what do we mean with sustainability of a supply chain?
So sustainability is a really broad concept, and it's right now even maybe being used too much, but I really like the definition that the UN proposed in 1987. That's meeting the needs of the present without compromising the ability of future generations to meet their own needs. So the UN said, if we have sustainable business, this means that future generations like our kids, our grandchildren, will also have the same opportunities that we have right now.
Do you think that the European Green Deal will play some kind of role in making the supply chain more sustainable, more green?
Yeah, certainly. So this type of regulation that I'm looking at, mandatory due diligence, is actually considered part of the Green Deal. And that's not so obvious, because it's not only an environmental regulation, it's also one, but it's also human rights of regulation. So actually, there is a lot that the EU wants to achieve with the Green Deal. And the main goal is, of course, to be climate neutral by 2050. But then one of the goals is also to have sustainable and secure supply chains.
Okay. And when we talk about regulation, as we would like it to be for the supply chain, it unchains the fears of enterprises and of the consumer. Which are these fears? Why do they exist?
Yeah, that's a really interesting point, because naturally you always would assume that companies are generally against a type of regulation like this. Like, it sounds like a regulation like higher taxes that companies would naturally oppose. But that's actually not the case. So when the EU first came up with a proposal for corporate sustainability and supply chains, they also had a public consultation where companies could give their opinions to it. And 70% of the answers from those companies were actually really positive. And companies said, that's great, we should have a joint regulation for this in the entire EU, because we want to have a common basis what to talk about with our suppliers. We want to have common standards, and we want this to be also standardized within the EU, because this means joint regulation for competition. It's fair. And since 2011, we actually have voluntary guidelines from mm-hmm. both the UN and the OECD. that also give standards for sustainable supply chain, but it's voluntary.
Yeah, so by voluntary, you mean that the enterprise could choose if to embrace it or not.
Right. Some companies align with it very clearly, others don't. And that's, of course, something that's not really a leveled playing field. So what we want in the EU is common standards. And ideally, if it's mandatory, that means it's also quite clear usually for companies what they need to do. Usually we have clear guidelines, standards.
And the lack of clarity is one of the fears that the enterprise have. What can we answer to them?
Yeah, that's right. So the lack of clarity is one of the major concerns. I'm actually not too afraid that this might be a big problem in the end, because it's been debated for a while already. And right now the European Commission, the European Parliament and the Council are discussing this in a very high level of detail. So it's really a debate all, I don't know, usually all 3-4 months. You get an update from it, you see how the process develops, and it's a lot about the legal details of it. And as soon as there will be a clear regulation, there will be also guidelines for companies. And then there are also NGOs and think tanks who provide additional guidelines and best practices. So I think this will be manageable.
That these common guidelines will drive the enterprise to be more similar, even on the market, and relating each other's, that could help the business. To having the same regulation. What do you mean by motivational crowding out due to overregulation? That is another one of the fears that I found very interesting reading your papers.
Yes, that's right. So motivational crowding out is a behavioral theory that states that you could crowd out the incentives of companies to voluntarily commit to sustainable standards by having too much regulation, like having over-regulation. And crowding out then means you destroy their motivation, their incentives to do it out of their own beliefs. I don't really think that it's practically gonna be a big problem, because we already see quite many companies make it their business model to be sustainable. They use it for advertising. It's clear if you go to their website, and they do this on the one hand side, out of their own beliefs, but on the other hand, also because investors demand it. So it can be really beneficial to have a green and sustainable business model. And so I don't think it's going to crowd out the motivation of those companies. Mm-hmm. And then for other companies, we also see it might actually be necessary to force.
So what about the cost?
That's actually a very important point, because it's probably the biggest criticism that is currently discussed. People are, of course, afraid that it might be just too costly for European companies, that we might lose in international competition. And that's, of course, a fair point. Like, it is something new to address, and it will be a lot of work in the beginning. But in the long run, I'm not too concerned about it, because there's also a lot of innovation in this regard. So supply chain tracking is becoming a bigger and bigger topic, and there are new technologies. Blockchain is being discussed, and actually, supply chains to the largest extent are already tracked, and it's mostly about how companies can use this information, how it can be analyzed. And there are also machine learning technologies that try to make sense of our trade flows. So I think monitoring in the end won't be too hard. And then also an important point is small enterprises are not included in the regulation in general.
Wow, they're not included. So only enterprises that could afford an innovation are included.
Yes, so the threshold is not really can you afford. The threshold is the number of your employees and your revenue. But the thresholds they are currently discussing are actually high enough that companies should be able to manage that. So currently we are talking about 500 employees and an annual turnover of more than 150 million euro. So it's not like a small store from Next Street would be affected by this.
And this request of a more sustainable supply chain comes even from the customers themselves. And do you think that the respect of the human rights and of the environment has been a great ignition for asking a more sustainable supply chain, a change?
Yeah, I think so. I think a lot of the motivation why we're talking about this regulation now is because European consumers want to have this level, like this standard of production? Because of course we all want to make the right choices when we go to the supermarket. Nobody wants to buy a coffee that had forced labor in the supply chain. Mm-hmm. And we also don't want to buy clothes where children had to work or where rivers were polluted with the dye they used for dyeing the pants. It's just a problem that it's not transparent right now which products do have these issues in their supply chains and which don't. And I think if we would have common standards, that this is simply not the case for all the products on the European market, consumers would be really happy and thankful about that.
Do you think that due diligence and a mandatory disclosure for the enterprise could drive the next regulation by the EU?
I think due diligence legislation is a new type of policy instrument that could really change something, because we're only debating this for a few years now. France was the first country to enact a due diligence regulation for the supply chain in 2017. Germany now followed up and it became effective only in the beginning of this year, so it's really very new. But already for more than 10 years, we have mandatory disclosure obligations for supply chains by companies. And actually in empirical studies, we see really positive effects of that. They seem to be very helpful in making sure that we don't have any human rights violations and also less environmental impacts. And I personally believe that due diligence has even more power, but this is up to empirical studies now if that's really the case.
So we wait for the results.
Exactly.
And the customer has the right to know what is buying and what is the story of the product that is buying, is right?
Yeah, right.
Okay. How do you think that the summer school helped you develop in this project?
Yeah, so the summer school really helped me with that, because policies always interact with so many other policies. Like, companies have to fulfill so many obligations. And what was really good about the summer school was that we looked at basically all types of European goals, like financial stability pact that the EU has to fulfill, monetary policies, different interests. And so I think it really helped me to put into perspective what the EU can do and what it cannot do and which other obligations it has to fulfill.
Thank you very much, Tabea, for being here.
Thank you.
This podcast was produced by Samba Radio for the Trento Summer School on Economics and Institutions in Europe. All the episodes are written and edited by Tommaso Selli.